नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we continue with the last verse of sixth chapter of Canto 2, entitled, the canto is Cosmic Manifestation, the Cosmic Manifestation, and the chapter is Purusha Shukta Confirmed. Please kindly repeat responsively. Pradanyato yan risha amananti.
Pradanyato yan risha amananti.
Lila vataran purushaya bhumna.
Lila vataran purushaya bhumna.
Apiyatam karna kashaya sosan.
Apiyatam karna
Anukarmishe taiman supesham.
Anukarmishe taiman supesham.
Okay, word by word. Pradayanta. Chiefly. Yan.
All those.
Rishe.
Narada.
Amananti.
Worship.
Lila,
pastimes,
Avatara,
incarnations,
Purushasya, of the personality of Godhead, Bhumna, the Supreme, Apiyatam,
in order to be relished by you,
Karna,
ears.
Kashaya, foul matter.
Shoshan,
that which evaporates. Anukramishye, shall state one after another. Te, they.
Iman,
as they are in my heart.
Supesham,
all pleasing to hear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Narada, now I shall state, one after another, the transcendental incarnations of the Lord, known as Lila Avatars. Hearing of their activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As it was said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.8, one cannot be fully satisfied by hearing unless and until one is given a chance to hear of the transcendental activities of the Lord. So Brahmaji is also trying in this verse to stress the importance of narrating the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. As He comes and manifests Himself here on the surface of the material planets. Every living entity has the tendency to hear pleasing messages, and as such, almost every one of us is inclined to hear news and talks broadcast by the radio stations. But the difficulty is that no one is satisfied at heart by hearing all those messages. The cause of such dissatisfaction is the incompatibility of the message with the innermost stratum of the living soul. This transcendental literature is especially prepared by Srila Vyasadeva to give the utmost satisfaction to the people in general by narration of the activities of the Lord as instructed by Sri Narada Muni to Srila Vyasadeva. Such activities of the Lord are principally of two varieties. One concerns the mundane manifestation of the material creative force, and the other deals with His pastimes in the form of different incarnations in terms of the time and place. There are innumerable incarnations of the Lord, like the waves of the river flowing constantly in and out. Less intelligent persons take more interest in the creative forces of the Lord in the material world. And being disconnected from their relationship with the Lord, they put forward many theories of the creation in the name of scientific research. The devotees of the Lord, however, know well how the creative forces work concurrently by the action and reaction of the material energy of the Lord. Therefore, they take more interest in the transcendental activities of the Lord as He incarnates Himself on the surface of the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of such activities of the Lord, and people who take interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam clear their hearts of accumulated mundane filth. There are 1,001 rush literatures on the market, but one who has taken interest in Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. Sri Brahmaji is thus attempting to narrate the principal incarnations of the Lord so that they may be drunk by Narada as transcendental nectar. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Here Lord Brahma is speaking to his son Narada Muni, and he is stressing the importance about hearing of Krishna's Lila avatars. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing in the purport that when we hear about the Lila avatars of Krishna, then we understand more about the actual personality of Krishna, the actual nature of Krishna. We understand who Krishna is, what is his purpose. We cannot fully understand God by speculation or by our senses. Therefore, the Lord has to descend into this material world to enact certain activities, and by us hearing about these activities, we can take Him seriously. Otherwise, we may say that it's a mythology, because we never have a historical record of Krishna coming. Someone may say it's a mythology. So that's why Krishna appears again and again to show that He is there, He exists. Prabhupada once said that miracles are for the faithless, you know. In relation to Jesus, Jesus was doing miracles, healing the blind and, you know, giving eyesight to the blind and reviving someone from the dead and all that. So we can say when Krishna comes to this world, it's also like a miracle, because the Lord is actually taking interest in all of us and coming down. And it also means that we are faithless. That's why He's coming. There's all faithless fellows in this material world. And when someone comes across a devotee who has heard about these lilas of the Lord, then there is hope that we will lose our faithlessness and will become actually revived in our consciousness, original consciousness. So, therefore Krishna comes down to this material world to reawaken us. Prabhupada is saying, I'm quoting him directly, we're all rotting in this material world. Basically rotting in the material, life after life. You get a material body, within few years it grows and then it starts to deteriorate and rot. All the organs start to fall apart. Then at the end it becomes so useless you have to give it up and get another one. So Krishna is coming to remind us, to tell us, my dear jivas, who are trying to imitate me in this world, give up this tendency to try to pretend to be the master, the enjoyer. I shall show you who is the enjoyer. So Krishna is displaying varieties of lilas. There is lila avatar, yuga avatar. There is Shakti Avesh avatar. I'm talking about avatars that we can see. You know, we can't see the guna avatar. It's too far from our senses to perceive, to see actually Lord Vishnu. It's impossible. We can't even see Mamvantars and, you know, the Manus. You know, we can't see many things with our gross eyes. Therefore, Krishna has to come and to play just like a human being. It's written in the Bhagavatam, just like an actor on stage. He's coming to present, I am one of you, I am like you. And he's teaching something by his lila. I am just like you, you know. And those who are a little more intelligent, they say, okay, you are like me, but not like me. And those who are not intelligent, like Kamsa or Duryodhana, they're thinking, yes, you are one just like me. And in fact, I am better than you. That's why Kamsa tried to fight Krishna, because he thought he could defeat him. And Duryodhana was thinking, this Krishna is such a troublemaker. Let me just put him in jail. When Krishna was trying to propose for peaceful resolution, give them 5 villages to the Pandavas and all matters shall be settled. You keep the kingdom. Just give them 5 villages. They're Kshatriyas. They have to execute their duties. Duryodhana said, no, I'm not going to give them anything. Even so much place that you can drive a pin into the earth, I'm not going to give them that much. He was like a psychopath, complete crazy guy. And when Krishna was requesting this, he thought, this Krishna is such a disturbance. Throw him in jail. He was thinking he could actually defeat Krishna. So you can see how Krishna looked so ordinary while he was in this world. And especially his Shakti Avesh avatars, they look even more ordinary because they don't lift hills and, you know, perhaps except Parashurama, who was also, Prabhupada says, Shakti Avesh, he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. But generally, Shakti Avesh avatar don't do supernatural things as lifting Govardhan Hill or expanding into 16,108 forms. So, Shakti Avesh avatars are very special because they look just like us, and in fact, to have faith in a Shakti Avesh avatar, it means that one's piety is even higher than just having faith in Krishna when he comes down. Because if you're a pious man, you can see Krishna's activities are extraordinary. You know. But if you see a Shakti Avesh avatar who is preaching in this world, you may not be able to perceive that. And if you accept the Shakti Avesh avatar as representative of God and surrender and dedicate your life, that means there's a lot of piety there. a lot of purity in the heart of that jiva. Like Prabhupada was, he looked just like an ordinary gentleman from India. And, you know, even some people still to this day, they think he was an Indian man. He went to America and started this movement. Actually, Prabhupada was not, he's not an Indian man. He is eternal associate of the Lord, who descended, accepted the external form of an Indian man just to mingle with us. He had a specific mission. So those devotees who accepted Prabhupada in America, they must have had so much faith. Because Prabhupada was in impoverished condition, 1 year in America trying to start the movement, he had no money, he had nothing. You know, he was struggling even to find a place to stay. He was staying with some hippie. The hippie attacked him when he was on marijuana or whatever. He was LSD or something. Became crazy, attacked Prabhupada. So, then there were certain people there in America who saw Prabhupada as extraordinary. They didn't think this is just an old Indian man. He's coming here, you know, to look for something in America, to become rich or something like that, you know. No, they saw this person is exceptional. There is something about him. Although Prabhupada was in a hopeless condition, like from an external point of view. No money, no support, no place to stay. Huh? How can you have faith in such an avatar? But the devotees did. Those who have purity of heart, they saw. This is not an ordinary person. Interesting, huh? Have you ever thought about these things? How difficult it is to spot the mission of the Lord, His representatives. So that's why the Lord constantly sends Lila avatars. And Shakti Avesh avatar, Yuga avatar, He comes so that He can deliver the pious. Pranitranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. Dharma samstapa vartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I appear again and again, millennium after millennium, to deliver the pious, destroy the miscreants, establish dharma, religious principles. So Brahma is telling Narada here, this is what you should be hearing about these amazing lilas of the Lord, and in that way your heart will become completely purified from all the foul matters of this material world, materialistic desires and tendencies that one may have in this world. Just by hearing about Krishna, we become purified. Because we realize who Krishna is, who we are, we realize what is actually contrary to our interest. When you are in illusion, you think you understand what is your interest and what is the benefit, you know, what is a beneficial activity. And you act on a bodily platform thinking this is my ultimate benefit, to gratify my senses. But when you realize who is Krishna and that you are the soul, then automatically you become intelligent to avoid service to the senses, slavery to the senses. So therefore, Krishna's plan to deliver the jiva is an ongoing affair. Krishna continuously comes down to this world out of concern. There is a saying that in the Vedas that Krishna, as He is, He appears once in 8 million, what in 8 billion 640 million years. Once. 8 billion 640 million years. As He is, the original Adi Purusha. Krishna appears, Govinda, He appears in 8 billion 640 million years. But even from the perspective of Brahma's time, This is very often because this is 8,640,000,000 years is one day of Brahma. So Krishna, as he is in his original form, he appears every day of Brahma. He comes to this universe. If I came every day here to the temple, would you think that I come too rarely? Not, because every day, you know. Oh, he comes every day, he's not coming rarely. So from Brahma's perspective, Krishna comes every day to this universe. But from the human being's perspective, that is very, very long time. So, therefore, this particular avatar of Krishna, we need to treasure, and we need to not to miss the opportunity, because if we miss this opportunity to connect with Krishna and take his offer to go to Goloka Vrindavan, then who knows when again we will be able to associate with Brijbasis or with the Lord. Is the highest realm in the spiritual world. Basically, many people from different religions, they speak about God, but their conception of God is mainly Vaikuntha, awe and reverence. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Christians, they worship God in awe and reverence. So they'll go to, if they follow properly, they'll go to Vaikuntha and worship Narayan there. But if they don't follow properly, just like if Hare Krishnas don't follow properly, they'll not go to Goloka. Doesn't mean that you stamp in yourself as Hare Krishna, you'll get the benefits. Not really. So we have to be very sincere not to miss this connection with Vraja Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. So here we learn something important. Brahma is saying that we should hear constantly about Krishna. And this reminds me of the Leela of Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, when Narada saw Vyasadeva after writing all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all the different scriptures that he was meditating upon and writing upon. He became dissatisfied after this whole, you know, intense labor. He became unhappy. What is wrong? I have compiled so much literatures. And then Narada Muni saw what he's compiled and he said, "You are dissatisfied because you never spoke about the transcendental leelas of the Lord. So therefore, if you want to help the jivas, you should introduce Srimad Bhagavatam." And then Vyasadeva wrote Bhagavatam in his maturity, spiritual maturity. He had a vision of the Lord. He saw Mayam, the material energy. He saw the jivas in that transcendental vision. And then he was able to clearly distinguish and write exactly messages that are beneficial to the liberation of the soul, for the liberation of the soul. So now, what is the specialty of these avatars when they come to this world? The next chapter will be all dedicated to the scheduled incarnations. It's an interlude to the next. What is so special about these avatars? What is special is that they are completely free of envy. There is no matsarya, there is no envy in Krishna's heart or his representatives. And everyone in this world, to one or another degree, has got envy. That is the difference. You see? That is the most essential difference. The avatars can show a lot of power, you know, different, tremendous potency of strength, like I mentioned, lifting Govardhan or Krishna defeating all the demons, Jarasandha's army alone, how many times? 16 times or something, and then the 17th time Kalayavana came, something like that. So alone he was defeating the whole army. One person defeating like hundreds and thousands of soldiers. You know, just killing them and leaving their leader alone and sending him off home. So this is tremendous power, you know, that is being exhibited. And of course we know Mahavishnu manifests unlimited universes, then Garbhodha Kasai Vishnu maintains them, then Shirodha Kasai Vishnu enters within each and every atom. So this is the aspect of power. So it's one of the opulences of the Lord, is unlimited power. But when the avatars come to this world, you know, these displays of power are not the most important thing. Especially the Krishna avatar. His most important display was his love for his devotees. If you look at Krishna's lila all the time, you see that he's constantly showing the love for his devotees and recognizing their love. That is the most essential presentation of the avatar of Krishna. And by coming down, he wanted to offer Vraja Bhakti to everyone. He wanted to attract all the jivas to come to Vrindavan. That's why he came. In Kali Yuga, he's giving the highest to the lowest. You know, basically, he came Dvapara, but knowing that the Kali Yuga jivas will be hearing about this pastime. You know, like that. So he came in Kali Yuga, and then he came, in Dvapara Yuga, and then he came again as Sri Chaitanya to reinforce what he did in Dvapara Yuga. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just also acting just like an ordinary person most of the time. Except when he made the animals dance in the Jarika in the forest, or he did certain feats like that. But generally he was just an ordinary, he looked like an ordinary person. That's why so many scholars are bewildered. They think he was a Bengali great scholar and preacher, and you know, even to this day they are confused about who was Mahaprabhu. You know? It's a mysterious appearance of the Lord. So so Krishna comes to give Vraja Bhakti in Dvapara Yuga, and then in Kali Yuga he comes again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahyanya. He is non-different from Radha and Krishna. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pridayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorat Vishayana Maha. So he is coming to give Vraja Bhakti, to emphasize why the Lord has come. And by hearing this Vrindavan pastimes of the Lord, from killing Sakatasura, Putana, Trinavarta, all these different demons, to his breaking the yogurt pots, Damodar Lila, to he's lifting a Govardhan hill, to Rasa Lila, and so many things. Just by hearing these pastimes, we can actually develop attachment to Krishna, and our heart can become fully purified. So, Krishna doesn't have any envy, and therefore, he has this power to attract, just like Prabhupada had that power to attract the jivas, and he's still attracting the jivas through his books. Like, I came to this movement by reading Prabhupada's books. I never met devotees. I didn't buy the book from a devotee. I bought it from one salesperson in Bulgaria. I just read Prabhupada's books and I became a devotee. So, why? Because his books are pure. Because Prabhupada is representing Krishna as he is. Therefore, there is no illusion in his books. There's no material consciousness. It's free of matsarya, free of envy. It's all about love, about empowering the jiva to become liberated. You see. So much potency Srila Prabhupada had. And this potency is exactly that display of love and compassion for the jivas. If you look at Prabhupada and all the acharyas, the Shakti, Yavesha, Avatar, Acharyas, and even Krishna's descent, it's all about compassion. So if you really think yourself a follower of Prabhupada, look at your levels of compassion. And if you don't feel compassion for others, then you know I'm lacking. I'm not representing Prabhupada properly. And that doesn't mean you should be ashamed of yourself or something like that. No, it means you should be inspired to become compassionate. You see. So, read the books of Srila Prabhupada, hear the lectures, meditate on what he says. I heard this morning one lecture Prabhupada was saying, Krishna is omnipotent, therefore everything that emanates from him is omnipotent, such as his words. So Bhagavad Gita is omnipotent because non-different from Krishna. So when you read the Gita, you become so purified and imbued with this devotional energy, Daivi Shakti, you know, you become, you shelter yourself under the internal energy of the Lord. So that's why Krishna comes, that's why the avatars are coming in this world, to simply inspire that devotion that is dormant within our heart at the moment, sleeping in this material world. Jiv jago gora chandra boli. Kota nidra jayo maya pisa chira kole. We're all sleeping. So they come. My dear sir, your real interest is to come out of this material consciousness of selfishness, trying to be a purusha, an enjoyer. In fact, you are a prakriti, you are a servant. So if you want to be happy, this is not the way to be happy. This is the way. You serve others in Krishna consciousness. This is their message. And then when you try it, okay, let me try to serve. You feel so happy. You feel so relieved. And then you know this is true. Because you're experiencing that happiness, then you know it's true immediately. You can look at your life. I tried this, I tried that. I enjoyed like this, I enjoyed. But at the end, I was always miserable. But when you serve Krishna or the devotees, then automatically you become so happy. And then that becomes the proof for yourself that this is true. Nobody can convince you in the opposite. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, when you eat nice meal, then you feel very satisfied. Right? Nobody can come to you and say, my dear sir, you are hungry. Why? Because you feel satisfied, you feel nourished. Nobody can just tell you you're hungry. So in the same way, when you perform devotional service, you know for yourself, this makes me happy. And it's not some cheap happiness or expensive happiness, you know, to serve Krishna. Chanting doesn't cost anything. You just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Doesn't cost you anything. So it is natural happiness, real happiness. And then another aspect of it is that not only you are becoming happy, but you are making other people happy by your service to the Lord. In the previous verse it was saying here that when the Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita to worship Him alone, it is to be understood that worshipping Lord Krishna includes worshipping all that is mentioned in this particular verse, because He, Lord Krishna, includes everyone. So, this is the mystery. When you serve Krishna, automatically everyone feels happy. You know, you are contributing to everyone, whether they understand it or not. That is another whole discussion, but you're contributing, you're blessing the whole world by becoming a devotee of the Lord. And I can actually testify this. I remember how, first of all, yes, I was in anxiety before I became devotee. And then when I became devotee, I became so peaceful, completely peaceful. And then I could sense, you know, how at least people that were biologically, initially, people that were biologically connected to me were also in anxiety due to this material energy. My mother, my sister, my father, you know, I could see how these people ended up there. When I became a devotee, I started practicing. I was living like miles and miles away from them in the South Africa, and they live in Europe. Actually, by serving Krishna, I could feel these people are becoming peaceful. I'm serious. I could actually feel these people are becoming peaceful, even without knowing what are they doing right now. And then after some time, when I contacted the family, after some years, it was just letters and things like that. That time there was no even email. And yeah, what I found that, you know, basically, you know, they have become completely relaxed, although they didn't even know so much about me because they can't see me, you know, what I'm doing every day and whatever. They didn't know I'm a devotee or whatever, but somehow that energy that was coming through me was calming them down, you know. And even now, this day, my father is late already, but my mother, my sister, I can see the whole family is becoming more peaceful, more happy, just because I'm devotee, that's all. So, just by serving Krishna, automatically you're affecting everyone positively. And not only them, also all the people around you, like the neighbors and friends. In my block of flats where my mother lives there in Bulgaria. Now everyone, almost everyone, or I would say the majority of people who interacted with me, they are favorable to Krishna consciousness. And they are becoming happy. Some of them are reading Prabhupada's books. This is old ladies, my mother's friends, some gentlemen. It's surprising, but in this age, the ladies are more spiritual than men. You know. So ladies are more open. They want to know. The men is more into soccer and all that, you know. So they, when the lady takes to spiritual life, then the man is thinking, hey, you know, my wife is becoming the guru in the family. I should just get my position back, you know. So then they follow. So like that, I can see its auspiciousness starting to enter within everybody's life. They are talking about vegetarianism. One lady told me, she's got a young daughter. She said to me, you know what? I started to believe in reincarnation. So simply by reading Prabhupada's books, by meeting me, they, when I am there, I look like a normal man, you know, just an ordinary person, greeting, how are you today, nice to see you, how's your child, how's your daughter, you know, you greet them, speak nicely to them, take interest in them, and when they, initially they just check you out, who is this person, what is he all about, and it may take some time, but after some time their guard falls off and then they start to become open, if they have some piety, of course. So they become open to discussion. And then you actually reveal to them Krishna, the Maha Mantra, you reveal so many things. I always walk with tilak, wherever I go, even if I'm dressed in civil clothes, I always walk with tilak. My sikha, they can see this person is different. Then they get to know he's vegetarian, doesn't drink, doesn't do all the nonsense people do. And in this way you get access to so many hearts. You know, so many of my classmates are becoming now interested in Krishna consciousness in Bulgaria. I studied with these people because I keep in touch with them and they see this man is just becoming happier and happier and he's doing so well, you know. And we are all like holding big jobs and this and that, and we're so miserable. And you know, they see that the material energy is pressing them down. So they see there must be something special in this Krishna. He's worshipping Krishna. Look at how happy he is. Like that. So what I'm trying to tell you here that you know, when we serve Krishna, Prabhupada, under the guidance of bona fide spiritual master, we develop compassion. We start to represent Prabhupada the way he is. And then people start to become attracted, just like Prabhupada attracted all these hippies. People begin to become attracted to us and to inquire. So, you know, you can become, all of you, everyone can become a Shakti Avesha Avatar. I'm not saying anything big. Very simple. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni, who was he? He was a maidservant son. Who is he? A Shakti Avesha Avatar. Traveling all over the universes to distribute Krishna's glories. So any ordinary jiva can become Shakti Avesha by compassion. If you develop compassion for the people that are suffering in this material world, the Lord will empower you to become Shakti Avesha. To a certain degree, if you have great compassion, then more empowerment. If you have small compassion, little empowerment. If you have no compassion, no empowerment. So like that, this coming of these avatars has got a specific mission to uplift the suffering jivas. And it is an ongoing thing. Don't think Prabhupada came and whoever is saved, saved. No, it's an ongoing thing. We keep reaching out to others. We are part of Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada said once, I think it's even in Srimad Bhagavatam, can't quote it exactly, but Prabhupada said, ISKCON is an incarnation of Krishna. So if you look at us as a body, as a society, what is our business? Pranitranaya sadhunam vinashya cha duskritam. So how do we destroy demons? By Harinam Sankirtan. And how do we deliver pious entities? Harinam Sankirtan. This is our weapon. How do you destroy demons? By chanting, they hear the holy name, his demonic consciousness begins to decrease. You see. Provided that you are representing the holy name properly. And then his demonic consciousness is decreased, and then the pious people, they become attracted. When we go on Harinam, you see how many youngsters they come and join and they start to dance. We were in New Zealand some 2 weeks ago. We went on Harinam, 5 devotees or 6 devotees from all different nationalities, some Indians, some local, some European devotees. One Maori lady came with us from New Zealand people. Everyone dressed dhoti, sari, you know, tilak. We dance. For quite some time, people were just smiling and nodding and, you know, waving at us. Some people just put their head down and move on, but they hear the holy name. So some dogs were barking from the cars, you know how they come out of the window when they hear the Harinam. So something is going on. But at some point, something miraculous happened. We went around like this. We were in this area called Papatoi, you know. So we went around. We were singing in front of one shop there for some time and dancing. And then we decided, let's go around this way and then we'll end on the car park. So we went around like that, all the shops. And we passed one Buddhist temple. And I was thinking, maybe we should just go inside with the Harinam party. But I was thinking, I'm not in South Africa, I can do this there, but or in Bulgaria. Because, you know, I kind of know the people's mentality and I know how will they respond if I do that. But here in New Zealand, I don't know what they are, so let me not go. So we just carried on forward. Then we went, there was a little shop there before we wanted to cross the road for the parking. And the last 10, 15 minutes, we were just chanting, dancing like that. Suddenly, out of the blue, one Chinese boy appeared. And he just joined the kirtan and he started dancing with ecstatic, put his hands in the air, and he was trying to repeat broken mantra, you know, whatever we're singing. He was trying to understand what we are doing. He was so sucked in by our energy. Completely forgot who he was, where he is, what he's doing, just dancing in total ecstasy, like that. And then the devotees gave him one card and he was reading from the card and running around and singing with big, big smile. He was more happy than the devotees even. So, then, you know, I made friends with him. We connected on Facebook. Facebook, powerful tool to connect with people. We connected. The next day I told him, we've got a program in Papa Toto, two programs. He came to two programs. And I was giving class and we did kirtan. And when the kirtan started, he jumped first and he told everyone, get up and dance, you know, what is this? You know, he's speaking broken English. He's even from China. He's a cyclist from some sports team traveling around New Zealand. It turns out he lived in the Buddhist temple. Just note the connection. You know, he got a cheap accommodation there because they cyclists, they travel, so the Buddhists are like connected to China. So they gave him cheap accommodation. And he just came out of that temple. We didn't go inside, but Krishna sent someone from inside to come out. And then 2 days, you know, I mean, two programs he did with us. You won't believe me. He took so much prasadam. He took more prasadam than me. Devotees can eat, right? We are champions in taking prasadam. He took more than me. He took, I had some sweet like that in a cup. I couldn't take it. He took my sweet and finished it. And his sweet and some big mountain Govardhan prasadam, you know, finish everything. And I was thinking, who is this person sitting next to me, you know? He's dancing more enthusiastic than all the devotees. He's chanting. He learned the mantra the second day. He takes so much prasadam, always having a smile, always kind to people. I was thinking, who is this person? And then the next day, he said, come and visit me at the Buddhist temple. I went there. He met me with the lady that is in charge, the chief of the Buddhist temple. And also, big smile and like receiving me, come, sit here and all that. So there is a deity of Lord Buddha. I offered obeisances. They were surprised, you know, wow, he's from another tradition and he offers obeisances to Buddha. Wow, that's amazing. So we made friends because I know who Buddha is. Keshava Drita. Huh? What is it? Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadishagari. So I know he's Krishna. So we made friends with them like that. And the next day, he wanted to read something. So I brought him Chinese Bhagavad Gita. And I brought him Tamal Krishna Maharaj's book, Yoga for the New Millennium, in Chinese. And I brought her, the teacher. She's a monk also, a shaven head lady. I brought Bhagavad Gita and teachings of Queen Kunti. She was in ecstasy, you know. He gave a donation for the books, and she became also my friend on Facebook, and then she posted on her own page Devamrita Maharaja's recharge retreat. There was a movie made about the retreat. She posted it on her own page, and then some Chinese people from China, they liked it, you know. And even now she liked some of my pictures here in Melbourne I'm doing. And this boy is gone back to China, but he sent another friend of his is coming to Melbourne to meet me. So something is happening there, you know. So it's just amazing how Krishna arranges things. If you are out there to help and serve others, you see, you always connect with someone. You always find someone who is interested in Krishna consciousness. There is... every day you'll find one person. It's guaranteed. If you just go out and do some service. I can give you another 2 hours of lecture how I went out and I met someone and now they're devotee. I met so many people throughout my devotional career like that and they're devotees. Some of them fell. Some of them are still in the movement. Some of them are coming now. But the more qualified we become with time to serve, the more Krishna empowers us. And ultimately, what is our qualification? to understand that Krishna is the doer and that we are just an humble, insignificant instrument. That is our qualification. It's just the realization of that. And then seeing the pain of others, suffering that they are going through, then just making some effort to go and touch someone's life, that will make all the difference. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nanti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Lord Premanande. Thank you very much. If there is one question or comment, I'll take it, and then we have to go to the feast, because then there is Australia Day and all. There's a Harinam today. Any comments, questions?
Yes, please.
Maybe it's out of topic, but if we give books to someone who is not in Krishna consciousness, but they just take it, but they ignore it, so due to their pain, they don't read them, or what is that?
At least they took it. If it stands on their shelf, that book is actually Krishna in the form of a book. So their house is becoming purified. So don't ever think that giving books is useless. Because that book is going into the house. And now that house, which actually represents a graveyard without Krishna, is becoming transformed. It's really a graveyard. Because what is a house? It's just a matter of time before everyone kicks the bell, you know. Sorry for the heavy statement, but that's what it is. You know. So give them books. Make friends with them. Always smile at people. Give them a hug. You know, how are you, sir? Nice to see you today. You know, don't be afraid. Oh, I'll give a hug to this meat eater. I'll go to hell. No, you won't go to hell. You know, you won't go to hell because you're doing to help him. Krishna, Mahaprabhu is seeing that. You see. If you give him a hug to make some business and get some money out of him, then you may go to hell. You know, but if you try to help him, to make him a friend of Krishna, then you got nothing to fear. Yeah. Krishna takes all the karma, don't worry. You just keep chanting, surrendering very humbly. I tell you, all of you can become so empowered. Each one of you. You can touch so many people's lives. So many. Don't think it's just for brahmacharis, for sannyasis to touch people's lives. Prabhupada's disciples, some of them most powerful disciples initially, and even nowadays, very powerful disciples were his grihasthas. They met George Harrison, the Beatles, they arranged so many things. So don't think that you are just second category people, second class people, you know, because you are grihasthas or something. No. You may not be grihasthas that are fully dedicated 24/7 to the mission, but whatever time you find, you can think how to share Krishna consciousness with others. It may be 1 hour a week, maybe a half an hour a week or something. You find a way, find your own way to help others. And if you see that you are not succeeding, you should know you have to increase your level of compassion. You have to increase your level of compassion. And you should pray to Krishna, to Prabhupada. My dear Prabhupada, I am trying so much to serve you, but nothing is happening. So please kindly help me. I want to become your servant. And then you'll see, the more persistent we are, the more determined, over a long period of time, something will start to happen. And each one of you can become a door for so many people to come through and meet Krishna. This is a gopi consciousness. The gopis always try to push someone else to serve Krishna. Radharani is always thinking, this devotee is better than me. So this is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you have that, then you, Mahaprabhu will take care of you fully. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Yora Premanande. Can we go straight?